Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We pray right now as the young people already downstairs, Lord, probably in the Bible lesson. I pray for my wife. I pray for Kathy Pragman, Christina Goble. Pray for Karen Potis, McKenna Russo, Lord. We thank you for those ladies and their faithfulness, Lord, in getting down there every Wednesday and teaching and ministering and serving, Lord. And I pray you'd encourage them. If they're weary tonight, Lord, give them the strength they need. Give them patience. Give them love. Give them compassion, Lord. Answer the questions of the young people. And I pray the young people down there, Lord, would know that they're loved, would love to come and hear the Word of God taught, Lord, would grow. We know that they're not too young to learn the Scriptures, to learn the truths of the Word of God. And I pray that, Lord, you would be building your church, building your kingdom with the young people down there, Lord. There may be some that have never trusted Christ. Perhaps parents have been talking with them about sin and salvation. Some of them have heard the gospel many times. And Lord, I pray that if there are any young people that have never trusted Christ and old enough to understand, you'd be working in their heart. Lord, even tonight, that they would talk to their teacher and receive Christ. We pray for the teens with the Kohlmeyers downstairs. We thank you for Shane and Katie, Lord, and we pray for them as they minister to the young people, the teens. Lord, a challenging time of life as they're, Lord, in between, in a way, youth and adulthood, and Lord, so many pressures that conform to the world and find their self-esteem by, Lord, what they look like, what they do, who they know, and what they can do. And Lord, I pray they'd find their identity in Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's any teens that have never trusted Christ, I pray tonight they'd receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. If there's teens who are saved but are struggling with sin or bondage, things of the world, temptations, help them, Lord, to turn to you, to look to the Word of God. Lord, tonight, thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to have a midweek prayer meeting. Lord, really would be almost impossible as a believer just to come once a week, Lord. When we think of the world, the flesh, and the devil, we think of the constant assault, Lord, from the world to conform us and all that many of these folks work with each and every day. And Lord, we need the assembling of ourselves together. We're thankful, Lord, that this church and many have a midweek service, Lord, we can gather together for an hour or so to pray together, Lord, to encourage one another. Lord, to see one another, to lift up each other in prayer, to comfort one another, Lord, to exhort one another, Lord, to be under the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I pray tonight you would use this prayer meeting for your honor and for your glory. May we leave tonight encouraged, drawing strength for the remainder of the week, Lord. I pray, Lord, we leave tonight stirred in our hearts for the things of God, to run the race faithfully, to not quit, to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, to endure, Lord, challenging times, to run with cheerful endurance, looking for your appearing. Lord, we're thankful that you have run before us and went through this, Lord, and walked amongst us and yet without sin. And Lord, we thank you for the example that you have set. May we follow your example in all that we do. We'll ask your blessing, Lord, in evening tonight, preaching of your word, prayer time, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in your Bibles, if you want to turn in your Bibles and get to where we're going to start tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to begin, though, with a couple missionary letters. These missionary letters, sometimes we do our missionary letters only at the end at prayer time, and those that may be watching from home, not able to get any updates on the missionaries. And so I'm going to give you just a couple here. I will save one for the prayer time, and that is one that's not able to be shared online in any way, sometimes depending on the missionary in the field and where they're at, they ask that nothing be shared. But these missionaries here that I'm going to share right now would be for you to take a note. You might want to jot this down to pray for a little bit later tonight, and then I'll mention the one missionary actually during our prayer time. Some of you may or may not know. Many of you know if you come to our yearly business meeting, we do have part of our budget is a special designated special missions that we designate each year if a missionary has a specific need or they broadcast some needs, whether emergency or big needs, and we then as a deacon board, deacons, and when I meet with them, we talk about some of those, make some decisions on how to use that money. We've used most of it. We have a little bit left, but one of the things we did, we sent $1,000 to the Sauls over in Haiti. Many of you have read their letters. You know that they have a lot of needs over there. They have both a Christian school, Bethesda Christian School, a Good Shepherd Clinic, a lot of different things going on there. We sent that. They had appealed for help for their coming up, and they do their vacation Bible school typically in the fall, right here in October, as well as a few other things. And so we were able to give a good help, and they could use that money however they wanted to, but it was towards that as well as their clinic. And so received a very nice thank you for our church. Hope this letter finds you well. We want to take a moment to express our gratitude for your generous support of our missions work here in Haiti. Your gift not only helped meet immediate needs, but has fostered hope and resilience among those we serve. Whether it's a child who receives a life-changing education at Bethesda Elementary School, a family gaining access to health care at the Good Shepherd Clinic, or our local community coming together, your kindness has played a crucial role. We're excited to report our recent Vacation Bible School at the end of September was a huge success. 560 children, ages 6 to 15, were able to participate. Unfortunately, because our campus was bursting at its seams, we had to turn away more than 50 young people at the gate. I'm sure they were brokenhearted to do that. Yet it was an honor to minister to those young hearts throughout the week. Each went home with a brand new backpack for school, the good news of the gospel, memory verses hidden in their hearts, and an experience of the love of Christ they won't soon forget. Thank you for believing in our mission and your unwavering support, which allows us to hold events like this. And so that's a blessing. You know, we have a part in that as a church, holding the ropes, if you would, over there in Haiti. And then an update here from the Stewarts. These are the Stewarts here. Bruce, Amanda have added to their family since we took them on, Bell, and now they have a son, a little fella, David, that was born about a year ago, and they're over in Liberia, West Africa, working primarily with the deaf through Silent Word Ministries in the same vicinity as Carrie Whaley. And just as a new school year has begun at the Christian Foundation Deaf School, deaf students from all over Liberia have enrolled and are eager to begin learning. Our focus continues to be on the discipleship and training of the seven deaf teachers. We thank God for each of these teachers and their willingness and desire to grow. Our goal is to teach them to teach others also. Reproduction is the key for the school to go forward. And we're excited about two new projects God's leading us to do. First, we're looking to install a solar power system for the deaf school. You may remember Carrie Welly mentioned about a solar power system over there for her. And sometimes that's what's best just due to a lot of the challenges with electricity and things. And they're trying to do this with the deaf school. This will be a one-time investment that should last 15 to 20 years. It will provide steady lighting for the property, allow students to study at night in the dorms, provide food in the freezers, and keep self-sustainability projects going. This project will cost about $11,000. That's everything, solar panels, batteries, and labor costs. Second project involves us renting the duplex in our compound, fixing it up to house short-term missionaries and any mission trip groups that want to come over. We will have one room that will be used for a library where pastors, Sunday school teachers, and others can come and study and borrow books. This will probably cost about $14,000, includes the cost of repairs to the building, repainting, buying furniture, solar panels, and all of those good things. Total cost for both projects projected at $25,000. So keep praying for the Stewarts working over there. They have appraised safety during a recent electrical fire in the market just down from our house. Several fuel drums exploded, but praise the Lord, no lives were lost. Our family was safe, all right? And then finally, before we get into the word tonight, a little update from Rick and Becky Enterline. Many of you know Rick had pretty severe heart surgery there, bypass surgery right around February, and doing much better. They're down in Florida, and they did have to deal with a hurricane. Says we've had three hurricanes so far this season, two of them back-to-back. We praise the Lord for his protection. Yes, we did have to evacuate. We had to travel about 250 miles up to Tallahassee for an unplanned mini vacation. God didn't evacuate, though, and when we returned 4 days later, we were grateful to find our house intact, just some minor damage. However, we've been busy trying to get back in the groove while Rick tries to replace demolished fences, get our shed reshingled eventually. However, our problems are nothing compared to many folks who lost everything. Some of our home church brethren lost everything due to the wind and the flooding or both. Our home church lost the roof to the Children's Church Fellowship Hall. It's where we might have been if we had not decided to go to Tallahassee. In fact, it turned out our pastor and his wife and a few other couples were there as the roof was coming off. So they were able to move many important things in before the rain damage. We can't even imagine it. And then he says, please pray, though, for two young people, a 7-year-old boy and his 11-year-old sister. They've been coming to our home on Saturdays, and they've been listening to gospel messages. Please pray for them. Their mother's expecting to move. We hope they will listen to more Bible stories, perhaps receive Christ before they move. And then finally, Rick's next trip to the Philippines is scheduled for January and February. That'll be 1 year since he had open heart surgery. And Rick says, please pray for my preparations. Lord willing, I'll preach 6 times while I'm there. They will pretty much be messages dealing with the Christian living, 6 themes the Filipino pastor had asked me to preach on. So I will soon need to begin studying and preparing for these messages. Also, please pray for my strength and stamina to continue to improve so that I might travel, all right? So keep those in. You have the Stewarts, You have Rick and Becky down in Florida, and then you have a little update there from the souls in Haiti, okay? All right, we'll mention one more missionary during our prayer time. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're studying the Christian race, the Christian life, the Christian walk, call it what you want, looking at crowns, awards, rewards. We looked at the end last Wednesday of the five, or possibly five, depending on how you view when the Bible talks about crowns. Certainly at least three specific, possibly five. You know, personally, I think there's probably more than that, all right? The Lord is a generous giver. I would say there's probably many rewards. I don't know that they're all mentioned, all right? Certainly there are those that we can focus on, but I hope we'll be faithful in running the race until we stand before the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to do a bunch of turning here tonight, so be ready to turn. This will be our launching off point. 2 Timothy 4. We'll look tonight at the crown of righteousness. Crown of righteousness. Remember, anytime it talks about the crowns in relation to man, it's always using the word Stephanus or Stephanus, depending on how you want to say the Greek word, which is the victor's crown. The victor's crown, the same word used given to the crown that was given in the Olympics in those days or the Isthmus Games. The victor's crown. It's never the word diadem, all right, which is a different type of crown used for royalty. The authority, we think of Christ, the King of Kings. So it's never talking about that kind of a crown. None of us are going to have that crown. We have not the authority, nor probably the need or desire for that crown. This is the victor's crown, given the faithfulness for God's children, all right, when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verses 6 through 8. Here is some of the final words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of one man who was finishing his race. His race was about to be done. So these are some of his final words. Verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." We could almost say, the end of my race is at hand. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Remember though, colon, 7 and 8 go together. Same thought. This builds on that thought. "Because I've fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Now if it stopped right there, we'd be like, "Yeah, wow, that's awesome, man. I know. Whew, can't be Paul. You know, wow, you know, I don't know. Can't be him. But that's not where it stops. "And not to me only, but unto all believers, all them also that love his appearing." We have the opportunity to stand before the Lord, the righteous judge, right? Remember, none of us are righteous judges. None of us have any idea. We like to do that. We form things in our hearts and minds, but none of us know the heart. None of us know the motive. None of us know any of that. The Lord does. He is the righteous judge. Think of this. The righteous judge will give out righteously crowns, and one of them is the crown of righteousness. All right? And this is what Paul is speaking about, and that's what I want to look at here tonight. The crown of righteousness. Paul had faithfully fought, faithfully labored, faithfully ran, faithfully suffered, faithfully kept the faith, faithfully served, and faithfully finished. And he was confident, not that bragging or boasting. He was confident that when he stood before the Lord, the righteous judge would give him a crown of righteousness. Now, let me ask you that question as we begin tonight. Ask myself that. How confident am I? Sometimes we shudder at that and say, "Well, I don't even want to get near that. I don't want to brag or boast." And certainly we don't want to brag or boast. But the Bible talks much about reward. We have many stories, verses, parables alluding to rewards, Lord being a generous giver. We know the Lord rewards faithfulness. He's looking for faithfulness. Without faith, it's possible to please Him. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Faithfulness is always the key. And so what are we talking about when we're looking at the crown of righteousness? I want to read a little bit here. Someone who said it far better than me. I'm quoting from H.A. Ironside, Harry Ironside. Some of you know him, well-known preacher from years ago. Some of you may have some of his commentaries. I would say those are pretty solid commentaries here. And just looking at his commentary on Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Now, if you don't know anything about Harry Ironside, he would have been raised in what today would be called, some would call the holiness movement. Literally, he was grew up a little more in the Salvation Army movement, which is some of that kind of stuff where they sort of teach entire sanctification, meaning you can get to a point in your Christian life where you just entire sanctification, almost like perfection. And if you've ever read his testimony on that, it's an excellent testimony. You can probably find that online there. In fact, I think he has a pamphlet out on that, his own personal testimony of what it was like, as that was how he was raised. And so he tried to pursue that all the time, and how he would get so discouraged and didn't feel like he could get there, and how he was delivered from that. And he gives a great testimony. I'd encourage you to read that. And then became a well-known preacher, and I believe preached it to Moody Bible Church, the pastor there at Moody, back when it was solid and fundamental, no longer today. But he's got, I would recommend most of what his commentaries are pretty solid there. Dispensationalist, all right, for those in adult Sunday school class as well. But what does he have to say here about what we just read? 2 Timothy 4. I just want to read a couple excerpts here about that. Paul had kept the faith. And so he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The crown is to be distinguished from salvation. We spent some time last Wednesday looking at that. The crown speaks of approval. Salvation is by grace through faith. Salvation cannot be earned. Crowns can be. The crown is for approval. The rewards are for service. That is the key. And so through the years, Paul had kept a prayerful watch that he might not allow himself to give way to the desires of the flesh. To live and to walk and to run righteously. That's the key. Righteously. He did not allow the body to dominate. Well, look at that. I keep under my body, 1 Corinthians 9. Bring it under subjection. Instead of permitting his body or his flesh or his desires to master him, he mastered it. Therefore, at the end of the race, he could say this with full confidence. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, there's a difference between the gift of righteousness and the crown. Let's keep that in mind. The gift of righteousness is salvation, where we receive the righteousness of Christ. That is a gift. We can do nothing to earn that. The crown of righteousness, though, is different. It is a reward that is given to those who have lived righteous lives as they have waited expectantly for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to keep that in mind tonight. The crown of righteousness is a reward given to those who have lived righteous lives. Not we think we have, based on the Word of God. The Word of God tells us what righteousness is. It tells us what unrighteousness is. It tells us what God loves and what God hates. And so the believer, with confidence, not boasting, can know if they've lived a righteous life faithfully. At the same time, we've waited expectantly for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Waiting, but also laboring. Not just waiting as in waiting in a doctor's office. My appointment was at 10:30. It's 11:50. Not that kind of waiting. Or waiting at an election line, or waiting at the DMV, or just sort of, that's not righteous waiting probably. Not waiting and just like, okay, I'm just sitting in the house waiting. No. I'm waiting, but I'm laboring. But as I'm laboring, I'm waiting. Huh? No. I'm waiting for the return of the Lord. I'm looking constantly. I'm expecting it, but it doesn't keep me from laboring joyfully. But I'm laboring for that. That is what it means to them that love his appearing. We can't just, there may be those who look for his appearing but live unrighteously. There may be those who live righteously but do not look for his appearing. The crown of righteousness appears to have both in mind. And Paul adds, not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. He was not just thinking of himself. He was not the only one who will have a crown of righteousness. It is for all them that love Christ's appearing. So I have some questions I need to ask myself as I ask you. Do I long for Christ's appearing? And if I do, why? See, that's the key. What's the motive on this? Why is it? Is it like, oh, yeah, you know, life's a mess, or I'm a mess? Lord, I'm a mess. Get me out of this. Is that why we long for His appearing? Do I long? Do I? Could I say I love? I love His appearing. Cannot wait to see and to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Is my entire life consumed? When I say consumed, that doesn't mean we understand there's family if we're married. Maybe children, grandchildren. We're responsible for those things according to the Word of God. Absolutely. We give an account on those things. All right? There's ministry. There's jobs. God understands that. But is my life consumed with being faithful to Christ? I mean, that's every day now. Not like a once a month, oh yeah, I got to check back, see if I've been faithful. Or, you know, oh, no. I mean, like every single day. Every single day, I'm consumed with being faithful and living righteously, keeping my eyes on Christ and Christ alone. Whoa, now that's different, all right? To love what He loves and hate what He hates. Well, I long for and love to stand before Him. Well, I actually, love is appearing to the point where I'm going to love and I'm eager to stand before Him. Not because I'm perfect, I know my faults and I know, but I'm eager to stand before Him and not to be ashamed. Is living and walking righteously my aim every day? Lord, today, I wake up, I think of You. Today could be the day that You return. Now think about that. If you, now it's not easy, we're human. We have to be very disciplined, very diligent to do that. And yet the Bible says we need to be diligent. We need to be disciplined in these areas. We need to do that. And so that would be the only way to do that. I would imagine if someone, maybe that's, there's been someone here, or I have a family member who has had someone back in the days where you couldn't communicate as easily through social media and videos and FaceTime and things, where World War I, World War II, going way back before that, to where you had a spouse, or maybe sometimes you just got married right before the war, before they went off, and they were married 2 days or a week, and then boom, and then that love, but that expectancy, or they're gone. When am I going to see them again? There's no way to, every day I think of them. Every day I love them. Every day I long for that. Every day every time I hear the car, and every time it's going to be them, and we think of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And constantly the Bible says that as believers, we ought not to live with our arm behind our back as if, well, I got to do this, or am I going to be ashamed? No, we need not to be ashamed. It is possible to stand before the Lord, knowing we won't deserve any crowns, knowing that in humility we don't deserve any of that, but knowing that the Lord is a gracious, generous Father, Judge who gives. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, here's the key. I'm not asking you, are you righteous? Do other people think you're righteous? Do you believe you're righteous? Righteousness is defined by the Word of God. Righteousness is truth. We can know if we live righteously. Proverbs talks much about righteousness, unrighteousness. The Bible talks much about righteousness, unrighteousness. We can know if our lives match up with the Scriptures. Now, what may not match up is our spirit. And that's the key, and that's where the righteous judge come in. We might have righteous actions with unrighteous attitude. Or we might have a righteous attitude with unrighteous actions. But the righteous judge, who knows everything, will be the one who knows all of that. Did our attitude, did our spirit, do we run with joy? Do we run for Christ? Do we run to be seen of others? Were we faithful? Were we faithful only when, the Lord will take care of all of that. So I need not run and looking behind or necessarily watching everybody else. I need just keep my eyes looking unto Jesus. Not knowing when the end may be. It could be today. And just think of that. Just think about it. If we lived, and it's not easy, I'm sure all of us desire this. If we lived every single day, we woke up and said, wow, Lord, thank You. Another day. I'll take this for granted. Another day to live and to serve You. This could be it. This could be the last day. No idea what could happen today. This could be my last day. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for health. Thank you for life. Thank the Lord. Well, I'm clothed with humility. I don't know what I'm going to head into, Lord, today. I know the devil's against me. The flesh is with me. I know my heart's deceitful. I know the world. All right, Lord, I'm geared up. I've clothed with humility. I've got the armor of the Lord on. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I'm ready to go to my job, to my school, to my work, to my off day. Here we go, Lord. And I'm going to live righteously. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to discipline my body and keep under it. I'm going to run to win. Who can I influence for Christ? Family, wife, husband, children, grandchildren, neighbors. What am I going to do? Work authentically. Love the Lord. Run it with joy. If I suffer, I suffer with joy. I run with joy. Lord, you could come back today. Hey, end of the day today. Thank you, Lord, for another day. I praise your name. Wow. Boom. If you say, well, I don't know if I can do that every single day. I don't. That possibly. Possibly not. All right. I long for his appearing. I look for that. I want to bring as many people with me. Live righteously according to the Word of God. I'm searching the Scripture so I know what righteousness is. I understand that. What was Paul's motive, his purpose, his desire? We've been looking at this for a long time in adult Sunday school class. We're taking a break right now. What were Paul's motives? What were his desires? What stirred him to glorify God? To magnify Christ, to proclaim the gospel, to look and labor for Christ's appearing, to stand before him with confidence, to be found faithful. That was Paul's motive. How else could he have endured? How else? And we read the Scriptures. Now, the Scriptures is God's Word. There's never a record. As far as I know now, he was human just like us. Paul was not perfect. Scripture, but there's no record of him complaining about any of his sufferings. No record. I've had enough. No, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow, I want to know him. And we our time here, we're going to take about 10 minutes or less here. I don't think we'll get to all these scriptures, but I'm going to look at a small sampling of some of these things that, you know, we learn a lot. We a lot of times we like to read about, you know, what you know, great athletes, you know, wow, let's read about the Bill Russells and what motivated him, or the Bob Cousys or the Jerry West, or different sports that you're into here, all right, the Mickey Mantles, and depending on what sports, since we're in the World Series, or if you're not in the sports world, you read about a great musicians or great people or biographies of great leaders or Christians and missionaries. Why? Not because we hold them up above the Lord Jesus Christ, but because they finished. They finished the race if they're a believer. If they were a Christian and had a strong testimony, we read, we say, I want to find out what they learned and what do they have to, what can we learn from them? I want to talk to them. I want to find out what they struggled with and how did they keep their focus? How did they keep their testimony? I want to learn from that. I want to see if I can also run the Christian race well. And so we look back here, certainly, our example is the Lord Jesus Christ who went before us, yet without sin, and for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He's the one we need to look at. However, Scripture gives us a lot of information on Bible characters, especially here in the New Testament of the Apostle Paul. So go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm going to go pretty quick here. We're going to go right in order. We'll make our way through the rites, through some of the Corinthian books. I don't know how far we'll get tonight. We're not going to need to write them all. But let's just look at a small sampling throughout Paul's life and ministry of how he kept Christ before him. How he lived righteously, how he lived faithfully, how he was looking for his return that caused him to labor. 1 Corinthians, let's start at chapter number 6. Obviously, we're only looking at a very small sampling. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. I'll read, hopefully your mind, your brain there can read along quick with me. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Chapter 9. Going right to the right. We're just going to continue on here. You know this well. Chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not, there's another one of those, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Many would say to Paul probably, Paul, slow down. Spiritually, just relax. Paul, it's okay. Don't you know that one runs to receive the prize? as long as I have, what for? All right? I don't know when it's going to end. Paul, relax. You don't have to, you're going too strong. You're making me look bad. Know ye not the day which run in a race or at all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, a victor's crown, but a temporary one. But we, an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, keep under my flesh, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Put on the shelf. No crowns, no rewards, loss of reward, rejected, not salvation. Wow, Paul, what's your motive? What keeps you going? Chapter 10, 31 to 33. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everybody knows that verse. You can quote it. You can sing it. They quote it every day at the Wilds of North Carolina if you're ever there for camp or retreats. But how many of us can do that? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, clean your house, have a day off, go to school, do the homework, everything, do all to the glory of God. How many of us could say that's what we do? That's tough. Wow. All of it to the glory of God? Give none offense, verse 32. Neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Chapter 15. All of these are well-known verses, but it gives you a great sampling of a person who ran the race faithfully and ran with joy and said, I'm done, I'm finished, the end is near, but I stand confident. All right? How can you do that, Paul? 1 Corinthians 15, 57-58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain of the Lord. It's not in vain. It's not worthless. We're going to give an account. The Lord will be the righteous judge. Come on, keep on going. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just flipping to your right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 gives us a little sampling of what going through his mind. We know, again, this is Scripture, the Holy Spirit. Yet at the same time, Paul is writing this, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10, verse 8, we are troubled on every side. I'd stop then. We are, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That would cause most of us probably to stop running. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or revealed or shown forth in our body. I want to know how to run like that. What kept you going? Here's why. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. A little bit later in that chapter, down to the end there, take a look at verses 16. Paul, why didn't you ever quit? You ever want to faint? Of course. For this cause, though we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Now you looked up what happened to Paul, right? Our light affliction. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Maybe we'd say that must be the key. Not to look at every injustice, every little slight. That'll get us off track. That'll cause us to... which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Wait a minute, that sounds like someone who's looking for the eternal, the appearing of Christ. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5, write down a little bit, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That sounds like someone who's looking for his appearing. That every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. How many times does Paul use knowing or know ye not? As a believer, you don't know these things. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, we're bringing it to conclusion. We'll only get about half tonight. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, verse 10, let's be honest, you and me both together, how many times do we ask the Lord to remove infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses? Lord, get rid of those. Lord, I want good days, happy days. Don't remove those things, Lord. I don't want those things. I take pleasure in those things, for when I am weak. It's when I'm at my weakest, I have nothing to stand upon. I stand upon Christ alone, and He works through me. And I live righteously, and I stand faithful, and He gives it to me day by day, and this is just but a light affliction, and I look for the appearing of Christ every single day. Hey, look, every single day, Paul had no idea if that was going to be it, did he? I mean, stoned, jailed. Hey, this is it. So there's no point holding things in reserve. There's no point having things in reserve. I'm gonna reserve this for later. I'm going to do this next year when I'm retired. There's no reserve. We don't know when it's over. And you say, how foolish to have all that reserved, and then that's it. And it's just, you didn't use it. We have hymns like that. Give of our best to the master. Give of the best of our youth. Give now, right now. Now's the time. And you see that our time is up. We didn't get into Galatians or Ephesians or Philippians or Colossians or the Thessalonians or the Timothys. But let's finish where we started tonight. Let's go to 2 Timothy at least. And we come to the end here, the final book or letter that Paul wrote before his soon martyrdom, writing to a young runner he'd taken under his wing, he'd poured himself into, someone that was going to take his place, knowing that life is not forever. What does he say to him? Actually, let me finish with chapter 3 and then 4. Chapter 3, he says to young Timothy, verse 10, Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, that's Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly, righteously in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 7 of chapter 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Remember that? The idea of the runner with a box, a precious box. For Paul, it was the faith, the doctrine delivered unto him, the faith that was given to him. And think of all that, how many people tried to take that, steal it, get rid of it, for him to lay it down, compromise it. No, I've been battered and bruised, perplexed and denied, abandoned, but I've finished, Lord. Now, I'm not perfect, but I've kept it. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, confidently, I can say, I won't deserve it, but I know there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, not might give me, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, not to just Paul, but unto all believers, that also, them also, that love his appearing. Am I living righteously? Each day, day by day? Does my life right now, is there anything in my life that doesn't match up with the book? Each of us must stand. Is there anything in here that I've... Am I looking for his appearing, or would I sort of be like, not right now? Or, I got to get some things right. Let us be ready for that. Let me be ready for that. Let us each day as a day to live and run the race that the Lord has for us, and we can be confident that the Lord, the righteous judge, desires to give us rewards. That we can earn those and gain those, not for salvation in any way, but for approval of faithfulness. Well done. Well run, perhaps. How good and faithful servant. Not all your talents. You've been faithful. You were faithful to the word of God. You were faithful to the gifts I gave you. You were faithful in proclaiming the gospel. You were faithful in enduring temptation. You were faithful in disciplining you. You were lots of, there's lots of, I think, crowns. Faithfulness is the key. May we be faithful until he comes, or until our life, which could be today, is over. And we'll stand before him. Father, we thank you for your word. What a blessing to read throughout the Bible that you are a giver of good things and rewards. Lord, many, many, if not every book in the New Testament mentions awards and rewards from our Heavenly Father, from you, the righteous judge. Lord, it is evident that we as believers should be expecting that. Lord, not out of pride or boastfulness, Lord, for we know that we do not deserve it, just like we don't deserve salvation. But Lord, you gave salvation as a free gift to those who received it through faith and repentance. And Lord, you also have rewards, victor's crowns for those children, those of your children who run faithfully, keeping our eyes on you, living righteous lives, Lord, desire to please you, not out of just keeping rules to please people, but to read the word of God and to obey it, Lord, because we love you and we love your commandments. We're reminded, Lord, in 1 John where it says your commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not hard and difficult, Lord. They're not grievous to the believer who longs to please you and looks for your appearing. Now, Lord, we know that you could come even tonight, even now as I pray. Lord, our life, my life, could end even tonight as I, here in this building or drive home or even in my sleep tonight. Not one person, Lord, tonight, young or old, can say with full confidence that they will be here tomorrow. So, Lord, it's with that in mind that we make assured that we're saved. We've trusted Christ. We've received the gift of salvation. Then, Lord, that we live daily for eternity's sake, Lord. Casting aside the weights that bog us down, the sins which easily beset us. Lord, joyfully running, anticipating the soon return, Lord, living our lives for eternity. Lord, shedding the things which really don't matter and get us off track. Lord, running with joy, with a proper attitude, Lord. I pray that you would help me be an example of that, Lord. And I pray you'd help each one that knows Christ to be a great example of that to the young believers, to the young ones, to those who may not know Christ. Now, Lord, may we be faithful. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which gives us all the truth we need to know how to live and walk this Christian life. Now, help us now, Lord, as we turn our attention to praises, to prayers. Lord, we know that we need to be faithful in praying. And, Lord, what a privilege it is to gather together as a church body to pray with one another. Ask your blessing on our prayer time in Jesus' name. Amen.